Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. When you hear the word test, what emotions rise up inside you? What memories flood your mind? I wonder if you sometimes have a similar nightmare to mine. In my dreams, I find myself back in school, and it's final exam time, but I discover I have not been to that class all semester. I've never read the textbook. I have no idea what the class is about, and it's time for the final exam. Oh my, it's so sweet to awaken from such a nightmare. Thank you, God. It was only a dream. But in real life, we find ourselves facing life tests all the time, don't we? Tests of our driving skills on busy roadways, tests of our ability to live within a budget when surrounded by tempting advertising and friends who apparently have more money than we do, tests of our faithfulness in relationships, tests of our integrity, our character, our reliability, our self-discipline, our generosity, our patience, and tests of our faith in God. Now think about that a moment, friends. What tests your faith, your trust in God? Join me again in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. That's the last book of the Old Testament, where God says, "Return to me, and I will return to you," says the Lord God Almighty. But you ask, "How are we to return?" Well, that's a fair question, isn't it? And we know the answer. It's called repentance and worship. But the deeper question the people in Malachi's day and in our day are asking is this: what makes you think we've strayed away from you, O God? You see, my friends, in Malachi's day, many of the people were keeping some of the religious traditions and rituals, but they knew their hearts were far from God. They thought God wouldn't notice as long as they kept up the religious rituals and traditions. Do we think that way sometimes? Are we just going through the motions with God? So God spoke very clearly through Mr. Malachi. "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me." But you ask, "How do we rob you, God?" "In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing God. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, you will not have room enough for it." Malachi 3, verse 8 to 10. Oh, my Walking with Jesus friends all around the world, this is one of the greatest statements of all time from God. God is actually inviting us, humanity, to test him. And he's very specific, and he promises a remarkable result. Do you see it? Have you tried this test with God? Tithes are not to be confused with taxes. The government, wherever you and I live in the world, levies taxes upon us and our fellow citizens. Probably you have very little voice in the matter. Your government probably did not ask your opinion. Governments decide they need money to fund their projects and pay their salaries, so they impose taxes on you and me. Normally, they don't say please or thank you. Taxes are not an option. You and I pay our taxes or we go to prison, right? But that's not how it works with God and his people. Tithe is not a tax from God. Tithe is worship of God. What? Yes, my friends. God instituted the tithe for his people when they came out of slavery in Egypt and were given by God instructions for how to live as a God-honoring nation of God's people. One group of them, the tribe of Levi, were called by God to dedicate their lives to serving the people of Israel spiritually, and they were to do it with just as much energy and dedication as hard-working farmers whose cows need milking every day, or ranchers whose herds will stray without their careful attention, or business people whose businesses will fail without their daily attention and hard work. The Levites were to care for the tabernacle and later the temple. They were to be the priests, helping the people with their worship practices and teaching them God's truth. They were to help them in times of grief and confusion and conflict, in times of weddings and babies and all aspects of life. For God's people, their spiritual health was central to their lives and the health of their society. So these Levites were essential to society if they did their jobs well, faithfully, and with great faithfulness to God and the people. In order to do so, Levites were not to hold regular jobs, not own farms or businesses, but make their full-time work the spiritual care of the entire nation of Israel. But how would they live? How would they feed their families? God's answer to that was the tithe. If every other Israelite family who was served by the Levites brought one-tenth of the produce of their work, there should be ample supplies in the storehouses of the temple, both to feed the Levites and supply them with what they needed to help the widows and the orphans and the poor and the other special needs among the people. Moses explained this as one of the wonderful distinctives of the people of God in Leviticus 27, Numbers 18, Deuteronomy 12, and elsewhere. But of course, the tithe program, which God instituted for his people, only works well if everyone is living honestly and in dependence upon God. If the Levites are lazy or greedy or don't properly use what has been brought to them, that's a mockery of God's plan. If the people only bring a portion of the tithe or don't bring any tithe at all, there won't be enough to meet the need. And of course, everyone had the same question. Can I trust God to supply enough so I can give one-tenth and still live on nine-tenths? Can the Levites trust that God will supply all that's needed for fields to grow and flocks and herds to multiply and people to work their jobs and the economy to be stable enough so that the people can give one-tenth and still live? But the even bigger question was this: will the people be faithful to God and bring their tithe, or will they keep it for themselves? And as you recognize, my friends, these have been the questions every generation has asked since. What the people then, and sadly even now, didn't understand, and what Jesus tried to make very clear, are these fundamental principles if you are living your life in a trust relationship with God. It's part of walking with Jesus. There are seven of them at least. One, everything that exists in our universe, either God created or man fabricated from something God created. Two, God is the ultimate source of everything, life, breath, the ability to work, all the resources needed for work to be productive. God has all the resources. Everything belongs to God. Everything. Three, I came into this world with nothing, and I will leave this world with nothing. 1 Timothy 6:7. 4. God knows my needs much better than I do, for he sees my future clearly. Matthew 6:8. Number 5. God loves me and delights in supplying me with what he knows I need every day, especially if I thank him, praise him, and I see his supply of me as an expression of his love for me. Number 6. God provides the resources needed to accomplish his purposes on earth to and through his people. Resources like time, talents, finances, ideas, energy, synergy, leadership, followership, creativity, etc. 7. I will live worship every day when I steward or carefully manage the resources that God has entrusted to me, as I follow the Holy Spirit leading me in accomplishing God's purpose for me every day. Now, friends, I invite you to pause and ponder these for a moment. In fact, I think it might be wise to stop right here for today as I offer you some questions to help us invite the Holy Spirit to guide our pondering. Don't rush by these, my friends. This is life-changing stuff. Question number one. Do I really believe each of these statements is God's truth? If not, what biblical support can I find for discounting any of the statements? Question number two, am I living my life in alignment with each of these truths? If not, which ones need some realignment in my life, and how will I go about getting my heart, my mind, and my life realigned with God? Question three, which of these truths do I find most difficult to apply daily in my life? Why? What will I do about that? Question number four. How would my life change if each of these seven principles became guiding principles for my life? How would my extended family change if I would teach these seven principles to my descendants and they embrace them as guiding principles for their lives. We'll pick this up again tomorrow, my friends. For right now, may I invite you to meet with Jesus and ask the Holy Spirit to help you honestly look very deeply into your life through the lenses of these principles and questions. Often I leave you with a song, not today. Today I leave you with silence. Sit in silence with God and just meditate with Him as you review these statements, the guiding principles, and these questions.